Give God the glory. Amen. Give God all the glory. I am standing here before you because of God's favor. He is the victory. Amen. And I have the victory. Amen. I told Bob when he was ministering a couple weeks ago that I was shouting the victory. And I was. I was shouting the victory from my hospital bed. Shouting the victory. And I just want to, you know, I want to thank, sincerely thank you from the bottom of my heart. Tricia said it best. Y'all can be seated, please. I thank God that I belong to a church that knows how to pray. A church of faith that understands what faith is. Understands how to operate in faith. Understands how to believe in faith. So I want to thank y'all so much for your prayers. Not only for me, but for Nikki and the kids, the family. Don't ever underestimate the power of prayer. Don't ever underestimate the power of prayer. And let me give you an example of this. And I believe Pastor Rob shared, he told me about it last week about Roger and Frida. So I'm going to get, the reason I'm here today is to give you my testimony of healing. I want to sow faith in your life for healing in your own body, for healing in your family. That's why I wanted to come here today, is to give my testimony. But I wanted to share this first. Pastor Rob shared, I think, last week about when this thing happened to me. And I'll get in and tell you more details about what happened, because it's glorious. I'm telling you, you're not going to be able to sit in your seat. You're going to be jumping. But at the time this thing happened, Nikki and I began to pray. And Pastor Rob said that Roger and Frida came up to him and said, and this was at the very same time that this thing happened to me, came to him and said that, you know, we were in our prayer time and it just rose up that we needed to pray for Pastor Todd and Nikki. Yes. Yes. Right at that moment. And they figured it out as about that same time frame that we needed to pray for Pastor Todd and Nikki. So my point is this, whenever you get an unction from the Holy Spirit to do something, be obedient to do it, because someone's life may depend on it. I have no doubt that them stopping their prayers and praying for me and Nikki and the family, that it reached into heaven, that God heard that, and with our prayers mixed with our faith, and changed things. You see what I'm saying? The power of prayer. Don't ever underestimate the power of prayer. Amen. So thank you all for your prayers. I know that even though you may not have known what was going on, you're going to get a glimpse into what I experienced. And I did write some notes down because I didn't want to forget anything. I wanted to make sure I had all the facts down. But for those that didn't know, I was in the hospital for 8 days. 8 days in a hospital bed. 8 days in a hospital bed. And they ran a battery of tests. I had two IVs, one in each arm. I had an A line, which is a arterial line, in this arm. Nikki's got to help me out with my terminology. Hooked up to all these machines. And after a battery of tests that they ran, which included three CT scans of my brain, an MRI, three cranial ultrasounds. What else was it here? See, I knew I needed an echocardiogram of my heart. Two angiographs. If you don't know what that is, that's where they go in through your femoral arteries. And they go up and they go into your brain, check things out. Two of those. So, after all those tests, they did in fact prove that I do have a brain. Yes, I do. I do. In spite of what some may think and what my wife thinks sometimes, I do in fact have a brain. I have all the tests to prove, all the images to show that there is a brain in there. Amen. But no, on the 29th of August, around 7 p.m., I got a numb sensation behind my right ear, and it quickly overtook this whole side of my head and then quickly moved into the back or base of my brain as a intense headache, and then just covered my entire head. I mean, it was a, and they'll tell you it's a headache like I'd never experienced before. I mean, the pain was just, I just couldn't mitigate the pain very well. And so I took some Aleve, and we sat there, and Nikki's like, do we need to go? What do we need to do? And I was like, I don't know, let's just pray and we'll believe God and know what to do. And we did that, and he said go. I felt released to go to the ER. So Nikki drove me down to Carilion Radford Hospital, and that was where the real battle was, I can tell you, because we got checked into ER, and there was, I would say, an hour plus wait that we had. And I take some responsibility of that, because when they ask you these questions in triage, you know, what's your pain level? You know, I'm like, it's about a 3 or 4, and it's probably about 8 or 9, right? And I'm like, so he's saying, okay, this guy's not too bad, you know, so that's probably on me. But anyways, in that hour plus wait, this is, and so I'm sitting there in a chair, and the pain is unbearable in my head. And so I'm tapping my feet, I'm squeezing the arms of the chair rest, doing whatever I can. And this rises up inside of me. The strong spirit of a man will sustain him in bodily pain and trouble. So I kept confessing that over and over. And I said, thank God I have a strong spirit that maintains me in this bodily pain. We say that all the time. Proverbs, we quote that a lot. And this is where practical application of what you put in comes out. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Amen? So that sustained me. So they finally got me back there. They took a CT scan there at Radford, and that's where they diagnosed that I had a subarachnoid hemorrhage. Did I say that right? What that means is there was bleeding on my brain. The blood, there's an area between your brain and skull, and that's the subarachnoid area. It usually contains spinal fluid, and that's what protects the brain. And so there was a bleeding in that area of my brain, and it had pooled at the base of my brain. And that's what was causing the pain. They said it's very painful if you ever had that. So anyways, they diagnosed that. He came to me, he says, we don't have the facilities here. We don't have a neurosurgeon on staff here. We're going to have to transport you to Roanoke. So sometime between all that, I think we ended up in Roanoke around 1 a.m. Is that 2 a.m.? At Roanoke Memorial Hospital. They did another CT scan with the dye stuff, and they just confirmed that. And within an hour, I think, they were sending me back under full anesthesia to get an angiograph done. And that's where they go up into the brain and they inject dye and they take images of it and see what's going on. but even, you know, and I can say that during the transport, they thankfully gave me a little morphine to take the edge off. But during the transport, that entire time, Tricia, this has been the most impactful message, I believe, in my heart that you've ever shared about building an ark in your heart ahead of time. And that goes right along with out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. But I was just saying, just like that song said, I will live and not die. I'm above and not beneath. I'm the head and not the tail. By Jesus' stripes, I am healed. He died 2,000 years ago and shed his blood and bought and purchased my life. So, enemy, you will not have it. Because Psalms 91 says, with long life, I will satisfy you. And this just kept rising up on the inside of me during this time after that diagnosis. And I can say this, I can honestly, I'm telling you, as God is my witness, there was no doubt in my heart that I would come out of this thing. Amen. No doubt whatsoever. No doubt. No doubt. So we get there, and I don't know if this was before the angiograph or after the angiograph. It may have been afterwards. the doctor came, the neurosurgeon or neuro specialist or whatever he was, came in, and he shared this fact. He said, you know, with what you've experienced, 1/3 of the people die before they make it to the hospital. The other third that make it to the hospital had permanent brain damage. And there's a third that go on to live normal lives. And he said, of that last third, 10%, we can never find out why it happened, where it came from, how it started. There's no residual effects from it. And I said, thank God I'm in that 10%. I am in that 10%. And if you do your math, if my math is correct, 3 out of every 100 experience what I'm calling a miracle. A miracle. Amen. They said I'd be, when I left Radford, they said, well, it doesn't matter what the results come back as, because you had bleeding on the brain, you're going to be in the hospital for at least 3 to 4 weeks, minimum. I was out in a week. Praise God. I was out in a week. So after the angiograph, the report came back, you don't need any surgery. There's no evidence of it. And then he confirmed after that, he talked the third. He said, yeah, a third die before they even make it to the hospital when this happens to them. A third have permanent brain damage, and then a third go on and live normal lives. I am a walking, talking, living, breathing miracle of God. Walking, talking, living, breathing miracle of God. When medical science can't define what happens, they call it a miracle. Amen. And they cannot define. They can't find out why the bleed started. They can't find out where it started from. They can't find any residual effects of it after the fact. I'm here talking to you. Amen. Released to full activity. No restriction. And let me tell you, they said, when they released me, they said, you know, they prescribed me all these drugs. I can't even name them. And one, he said, you're probably going to have headaches for about at least 2 weeks afterward. I didn't have the first headache coming out of the hospital. Haven't even touched that one. The worst thing about it is being in the bed for 8 days. I got down in the back, my legs tightened up. And those are finally starting to stretch out now. Yeah. But you know what? What does the word say? When the enemy is found out, he has to repay how many times? Yeah. 7 times. So I am believing. And I've already received some of that payment. Because I can tell you, my memory is better. Ask Nikki. I didn't forget one single nurse's name that came into that room. And you know how many nurses came in there over 8 day time? 24 hours? Not one. I didn't forget one of their names. And, you know, many of y'all know that I have a sales background and, you know, your memory, you have to remember names. Yeah. You have to remember names. And I had lost some of that. And it concerned, you know, I was bothered by it because I was always great with names. Always. And I had lost some of that. Y'all lucky I remember most of your names. But I'm telling you, that is back. My memory for that is back. These are small things, but I'm taking them. I'm claiming them for myself. I've been able to sleep on my left side. I hadn't been able to sleep on my left side for years. I could only sleep on my right side because I could only breathe through my nose for some reason on my right side. And when I slept on my left side, I ended up breathing through my mouth, and your mouth gets dry, and you know. I'm sleeping on my left side, breathing through my nose. Glory. Victory, victory, victory. Amen. And I really wanted Gene and Judy to be here, and Dusty and Wanda, because this word came forth from Gene. I believe it was during a prayer time before service. It's probably been several months now. And I'm telling you, I can't make this stuff up. The doctor looked at me. After he'd come back and said, we can't find any results of anything. You know, we don't know where it started, how it happened. He looked at me and he says, as best we can tell, it's going to be like as if it never happened. Can you believe that? That is a word that came forth, Gene Smith, about restoration. That it'll be as if it never happened. Isn't God good? He is so good. He is so good. And I'm here to tell you today, I want to sow that seed of faith for healing in your own bodies. You can believe for healing in your own body. You can believe for it. There is nothing too hard for our God. Nothing too hard for our God. And we are overcomers because of what? The blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And I am a living, breathing testimony of God. We talk about this place being a house of miracles. Well, I'm one of them, praise God. I'm one of them. And I really feel this. I told Nikki this, I don't know, it's been several days now. I was just in the shower. Y'all know how much I like to shower. And I was just sitting there on our new bench, which, yes. And I told her, I said, and I started weeping. And I said, I feel like God has given me a second lease on life. And I don't want to waste it. I don't want to waste it. I don't want to waste it with petty stuff anymore. I want to do what God has called me to do. I want to see victory in the lives of other people. I want to see healing in the bodies of other people. I want to see this place be a house of miracles, a spiritual hospital where people can come and receive victory in their life. I want that with all my heart. And I want to do what God wants me to do. And I want to be obedient to that. And I want you all to jump on that. I mean, the church needs to arise and know who they are in Christ. You know, we'll go back to prayer, that word of prayer, you know, that came forth, I guess, maybe a year ago now, that prayer would be a priority here at Christian Growth Center. I mean, I just see the hand of God throughout this whole process and how even something simple like this, you know, y'all know that I've given up my business and turned that over to my brother. That happened the week of this event. So I didn't have to worry or be concerned with that. You know, that was all taken care of because I wouldn't have been able to do that afterwards. Not for a couple of weeks. That was all just laid out and taken care of. But being prayer being a priority here at CGC, I know some of you have jumped on that and have latched onto that with your crocodile-like faith and have really put that into practice. I'm sure there's some that jumped on the boat early and it's just that has waned. That has waned in your life for whatever reason, you know, distractions, cares of the world, things happen, family. And I'm sure there may be some that didn't even hear it the first time. But I'm here to reiterate that prayer is a priority. Prayer, what does our sign say out there? It plows the ground. It prepares the ground of the heart, of your heart and the hearts of others to receive the word. So I just challenge you today to ignite and reignite, if you have to, that prayer being a priority in your life. Because I believe it saved my life.
Amen.
I believe it saved my life. I was hoping that Roger and Frieda were going to be here today because I wanted to put in effect what Ephesians 6, I believe it's 8 says, that what you do for someone else, God will reward you with the same. And I wanted to pray over Frieda. I wanted to pray over her. But I know that my prayers can go beyond these four walls.
Yes, yes, yes.
Find her where she is.
Yes.
And minister healing.
Amen.
To her body. Healing to her body.
Thank you.
As best we can tell, it will be as if nothing ever happened. Restoration. Complete restoration. Better than before. I'm telling you, my memory is better. My balance is better. My balance is better. I mean, these are the victories that I'm taking back from what the enemy tried to steal from me. He tried to steal my life. And he's going to pay for it dearly. He's going to pay for it dearly. This has to be a strategic church. He has tried to take out two pastors, but he was unsuccessful in both attempts. Same method. He's been found out, Pastor Rob. He has been found out, and he will pay. He will pay for. So you say, why has this happened to you? You're a pastor. Well, look, the enemy, just like God is no respecter of persons, the enemy's no respecter. What is his mission? To kill, to steal, and destroy. I'm not immune from that. Nobody is. That's why we have to build that ark in our heart. That is why we have to put the Word of God inside of us so that when the time of trial comes, we know how to speak to it. I know that I can say that the strong spirit of a man sustains me when bodily pain is upon me. I know that I can say that I will live and not die. I know the promise of God that he says he will satisfy me with long life. These are the things that rise up and come out of you in that time of trouble. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Amen. And you're walking through it. You're not camping out in it. Listen, I could have stayed in that hospital bed for weeks, but I wasn't going to allow it. I wasn't going to allow it. I was speaking those things out of my mind. Speaking those things that be not as if they were. I was speaking those things. I'm in my own bed. I'm in my own house. Yes. I'm talking to my own family and in my environment. I'm not going to live here. Amen. And I'm certainly not going to die here.
Amen.
Amen. And you can have the same. Amen. You need to believe God for your situation and your life.
Amen.
Healing in your body.
Yes.
Oppression in your mind. Restoration of vision, restoration of health in your body. I mean, these are all things that are yours. And you need to take them.
Amen.
You need to take them. You got to have that crocodile-like faith and reach out and say, this is mine. I'm not letting go, no matter what the circumstances say, no matter what the doctor report says. I'm not a third of those that die. I'm not a third of those that are going to have permanent brain damage. No, I'm the third and even three, the miracle three, that have nothing. You have nothing on me, devil. Nothing. I'm telling you, I have put him on notice. And he'll not have any more of me. And I praise God that he'll have none of you. That you let faith be sown in your heart for yourself.
Thank you, Father.
And as that faith is sown, that grows up, just like that mustard seed, grows up into righteousness. You're understanding who you are in Christ. And just like that mustard seed, it comes to one of the biggest bushes where even the fowls of the air come and light on its branches. Faith to move mountains. Sickness is a mountain in your life. Oppression of your mind is a mountain in your life. Poverty is a mountain in your life. These are all things that you can have the victory over. Trouble in relationships is a mountain in your life. You can have victory in all these areas. And I'm a living testimony of having victory. And I'm going to shout it from the rooftops. I'm trying to draft a letter in my mind. I want to send an open letter to the church describing the miracle of healing that happened inside of me to sow faith in the lives of others so that they can receive their miracle.
Amen.
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 I really feel led to do this. I want to do this. not out of ritual or routine, but I believe, I believe that there is still healing virtue in my body. I just want to lay hands on anybody that wants to be laid hands on for healing in their body. For healing in their body, for oppression in their mind. I want to do that. It's not me. Listen, it is not me. It is the power of God in my body that healed my body that is going to come out of my body.
Yes.
And into yours. I believe that you came today with an expectation to receive from God. An expectation.